gallant American women.
Story of women who have helped to develop the American way of life. Daughters of destiny, mothers of might, co-makers of history. Women whose names are written large upon the honor rolls of our nation's great. Women courageous who have served and sacrificed, worked and dreamed, pioneered and persevered. Women whose names, deeds, and claims to fame have often been forgotten.
This is their story, and it is your story. Three centuries of women whose deeds are rooted deep in our past and whose influence will reach far into the future. It is the story of you, the pioneer women of today who are blazing the trails of tomorrow. The United States Office of Education and the National Broadcasting Company take pride in presenting the fifth chapter in this epic tale of women in the making of America. Today, let us listen to the story of women who came to this country in search of freedom and the part they have played in the making of America. Women refugees.
Please advise on storm conditions. United States Steamship President Harding requesting weather reports. Returning to New York, 596 passengers aboard with British seamen rescued from torpedoed freighter. Heavy sea. Ship's doctor having difficulty caring for sick and wounded. Please advise on course of approaching storm. SS President Harding.
How is he, Doctor?
Appendicitis, all right. I'm afraid I'll have to operate. It won't be easy, nurse, by ourselves, with the ship lurching.
Can I help you, Doctor?
Well, you see, madame...
I am a doctor, sir. Dr. Helen Schur. 5 years I've been surgeon in Vienna. Please, you will let me help?
You will administer the ether?
Oh, but of course.
All right. Here you are.
Very well.
Steady, steady. It's pretty rough. And it may get rougher.
I know, Doctor. The hurricane.
If only the belligerent ships would give us some report. Tell us which way it's coming.
Shh. The patient wakes. Here you are. Breathe deeply.
Oh, I admire your coolness, Dr. Schur. Your dexterity. You plan to stay in the United States?
Yes, if the United States will have me. You see, I'm a refugee.
But, Dr. Schur, it will mean starting all over again. Studying medicine in English. Taking more examinations.
I know. But if I can save lives...
You're helping to save one right now. You're assisting with your first operation on American soil.
On American soil.
And on October 21st, 1939, as the President Harding creeps into New York Harbor with her weary passengers, Dr. Helen Schur, along with others, gazes happily at the Statue of Liberty. A mighty woman with a torch, her name, Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome.
Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send thee, the homeless, the tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door.
Those lines, written by Emma Lazarus, whose Jewish ancestors had come to the United States many generations before, are inscribed on the base of the Statue of Liberty. A thrilling message of hope to the refugees of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. 300 years of refugees in search of liberty.
In search of religious liberty, freedom of conscience.
In search of personal liberty and political liberty.
In a search of economic liberty, freedom to use a brain, a brawn, and initiative to earn a living.
In search of intellectual liberty, freedom of opinion, speech, assembly, and press.
In search of cultural liberty, freedom to establish institutions, traditions, and customs.
300 years ago, 1638, another ship, a smaller one, tempest-tossed, heading for America. Another man stretched upon a cot, and kneeling there beside him, another refugee woman.
Joseph. Oh, what think you, Stephen Day? How is he? Tell me truly.
I fear he is failing, Mistress Glover.
No. No, he must get well. He must reach America alive.
As those tyrants have done this to him. Hounding him when he preached the Puritan faith. Burning his pamphlets.
But the printing press is still safe, Stephen. And his spirit. He can print more pamphlets in America. There we won't have to hide the press in a cellar. There we'll be free.
Elizabeth.
Oh, Joseph. Joseph, how do you feel? Oh, your head is still too hot.
Elizabeth. I will never reach America.
No. No, you must not talk like that.
It is the truth. I know it. You have been a good wife, Elizabeth.
Oh, my dear.
One thing I ask.
What is it?
The press. You will use it. You promise?
Yes, I promise.
My son will help her with the printing, Reverend Glover.
Good, Stephen. And you must keep it free, remember. Free.
So we will. No man in all America shall tell us what to print. No tyrant. Ah, but 'tis you who will use it, Joseph. You can print a hymn book for that wilderness. You can print the truth with no fear of soldiers breaking into our house, burning the pamphlets. You will do it, Joseph. Joseph!
So came the first printing press to America, in the care of a woman who faced her new life in the wilderness alone.
Elizabeth Glover, whose name has almost been forgotten. While the press is named for Stephen Day, the man whose son helped with the printing.
The first printing press in America. And first to be printed on it was the Freeman's Oath.
I do hereby freely acknowledge myself to be subject to the government of this commonwealth, and therefore do here swear by the great and ever-living God that I will truly endeavor to maintain and preserve all the liberties and privileges thereof. And I will give my vote and suffrage as I shall judge in mine own conscience may best conduce to the public weal. So help me God in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Refugees, men and women who love freedom more than friends and homeland. People with a new ideal of equality, a new dream of tolerance.
We Catholics, who came from Protestant England to Maryland with Margaret Brent and Lord Baltimore, seeking religious freedom for ourselves, establishing it for people of other Christian creeds.
We Netherlanders, who came from Holland to New Amsterdam and made our home a haven of refuge for all persecuted people, for the Jews and for free thinkers like Anna Hutchinson and Deborah Moody.
We Quakers, Anne Austen and Mary Fisher, driven from England by beating and horrible tortures, coming to America to preach peace and brotherly love.
We Huguenots, Protestants from Catholic France, oppressed, imprisoned.
A November night in 1685, in the shadow of a prison tower in the French village of La Rochelle, a young woman pleads with a prison guard.
Please, oh, please, Monsieur Le Gendarme, I must see my husband.
If he takes his given strict orders, that no one is to see him, Monsieur Gabriel Benoit.
Oh, but why? He has committed no crime.
He is a Protestant, madame.
Oh, but not since he sailed away to America have I seen him. And now, when he is just returning. Oh, then he shall be thrown into prison. I have no heart, Monsieur, please.
Well, perhaps for 5 minutes.
Oh, merci. Yes, monsieur.
Come this way, then. But mind you, speak no word of it.
Oh, no, no. I will not tell a soul.
Quiet. Watch where you step. Dark is the tomb in here.
Oh, you are a good man. May God bless you.
Here. Here is your husband's cell.
Gabriel.
Esther. Esther. Is that you?
Oh, oui. Oh, Gabriel.
Oh, my beloved.
You all right?
All right. Oh, my dearest one. Oh, this is hardly the homecoming I had planned on America. Oh, if you could only see that land, Esther. All we have dreamed of on the moor. There, it matters not if a man be Protestant or Catholic, rich or poor.
We will go there someday, Gabriel. I will get you out of this dungeon.
You have a plan?
No. Oh, but there must be some way.
I fear there is no way but death.
Death or no? Death? Oh, that is my plan.
Yes, sir. Are you mad?
Oh, no, no. It is a wonderful way out.
What do you mean?
Gabriel, you will pretend to sick and here in prison. Then, when they see you do not recover, they will send you home to die. I shall hold a funeral for you. I shall dress in black and walk behind the coffin.
The empty coffin?
Oui, the empty coffin.
Night in 1687, a man supposed to be dead was smuggled aboard a ship in the harbor of La Rochelle. Gabriel Bernon, bound for England, where he would meet his wife and children, become a naturalized citizen, and set sail for America. The Huguenot refugees landed in Boston. Men and women with a new vision. And with them came Gabriel Bernon, a man who was to build up the trade of the colonies. Esther Bernon, his wife, feeding and housing the new refugees.
Came, we Americans, Huguenot to Massachusetts, New Amsterdam, South Carolina.
And we Scotch-Irish who came from the north of Ireland, seeking freedom from poverty and oppression, pressing toward the frontier, serving as a wall against the wilderness.
And we Germans of the Palatinate, driven from the Rhine by French troops, welcomed to Pennsylvania by the Quakers.
And we Acadians, exiled by the English from our homes in Nova Scotia.
This is the forest primeval, the murmuring pines and the hemlock. Here dwelt together in love those simple Acadian farmers, Evangeline Belle Fontaine and her betrothed.
The story of one refugee woman has been immortalized forever by Longfellow in his poem Evangeline. But what of those others whose songs have gone unsung? Hundreds, thousands of refugee women. Women whose names, deeds, and claims to fame have been forgotten.
Rich women, poor women, valiant women, and a women of simple courage.
Lutheran women from Germany.
Italian women from Piedmont.
What of the Irish, Polish, Swedish, Hungarian women? Their names are written in the fields of corn that marched westward, in the gleaming rails that span the continent. Their names are written in the little log homes that planted old world tradition in a new world wilderness. In the deeds of their sons who stood for independence in the snow at Valley Forge.
Jones, McCarthy,
Schneiderman,
Paletti,
Leontovich,
Molnar.
Oh.
we Americans. And in 1801, when the Alien and Sedition Act threatened to bar all further refugees from our doors, Thomas Jefferson sent a message to Congress.
Shall we refuse to the unhappy fugitives from distress that hospitality which the savages of the wilderness extended to our fathers arriving in this land? Shall oppressed humanity find no asylum on this globe?
So we came. 20,000 in 1817, 200,000 in 1847.
We Irish, victims of the horrible famine, starving for liberty as well as for food, given our brawn, our humor, to build America.
We Germans, the 48ers, fleeing from a revolution which had failed, bringing our independent spirit, our poetry and music.
And with them, bringing a dream of a greater America, came Carl Schurz, destined to become a great statesman, Secretary of the Interior, founder of our civil service.
And his wife, Margareta, brought an idea that would mean much to the women of America. Into her house in Watertown, Wisconsin, she gathered her children of the neighborhood, along with her own.
So this is your school.
Well, Mrs. Moore told me you were just wasting our children's time with singing and games and such.
Oh, but these children are too young for school, Mrs. Dobbins. This is just a kindergarten.
A what?
A kindergarten, like you say in Germany. A children's garden.
Well, whatever it is, it's calm foolishness. They'd ought to be home learning something.
Oh, but Herr Froben, the man who started the kindergarten, he says that play is the child's way of learning.
Please let us stay, Mother. We like it here.
Oh, please, Mrs. Dobbin.
Well, it seems like foolishness to me. But at least it keeps them out of mischief.
America's first kindergarten brought by a German refugee.
And so we came, bringing our gifts, patience and a willingness to work, in return for the educational and economic opportunities of America.
We Scandinavians, driven from our farms by the new machinery, bringing our knowledge of the land, our spirit of cooperation.
We Poles, ever struggling for a free Poland, fleeing to the safety and freedom of America, bringing new crops, new music, new art.
A November day in 1876, a Polish colony in California. In a tiny farmhouse, a woman who used to charm thousands in the theaters of Warsaw faces an angry man.
Ah, we are mad, Countess, to go on like this, trying to raise oranges. The colony's a failure. You and the Count, your husband and son, can stay if you like, but I am getting out.
Stanislaus.
Here he is, right, Helena. Our colony is a failure.
You, my husband, would give up too.
We can't go on with everyone deserting. We don't know how to raise fruits, we aristocrats. And with only Ralph and me working at it.
I think we expected life to be too easy here in America. Well, we have learned.
I don't know what we can do now. If only I hadn't put every penny into this farm.
I still have some jewels left.
No, Helena, not those. I won't let you sell them.
I will sell my jewels. You see, I remember the story of a Roman woman whose sons were her jewels. We have Ralph to think of, you know. His education, his whole future here in America. I have great dreams for him.
I too. Oh, but I could never let you sell your treasured heirlooms.
Then I shall earn the money. I shall go back on the stage.
Here? In America? But that is impossible. You do not even know the language.
I will learn it. I will bring to America that Ophelia who moved Warsaw to tears. I will act as I have never acted before. I will make America laugh and cry. I will act.
Bringing her great dramatic talent to America. Bringing up her son, who is destined to become one of our leading bridge engineers.
Rich women and poor women. Mary Antine, Jewish refugee from Tsarist Russia.
Years later, when she was one of America's famous authors, she told her own story.
I was born in Polotsk, in a part of Russia called the Pale of Settlement. As a little girl, I wondered at the hardness of our life there.
Mother, why must we not go outside the Pale?
Because the Tsar and those others who have power to make the laws do not love our people, Mashenka. They hate us and all our ways.
Is that why Father always fears the police?
Nay, child. The trouble is that we can do nothing right. Everything is wrong with us. We have no right. Nothing we dare call our own. But someday, Mashenka, we shall journey to the promised land.
To Jerusalem?
Nay, to America, the land of freedom. And then, one day we came to America. Can you imagine how I loved it? Perhaps you who were born here will never know. How my heart pounded when I stood up in school with the other children and saluted the stars and stripes. The words seemed to come from the depths of my soul.
I pledge allegiance to my flag and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I pledge allegiance to my flag and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So we came, we Americans. Refugees from poverty and persecution.
Italians, Austrians, Romanians, Slavs, Greeks, Czechs, Portuguese, Armenians, and Poles.
From Hungary came a world-famed pacifist. Once a member of the Hungarian National Council. Once ambassador to Switzerland. Once, like Jane Addams, a delegate from the International Congress of Women. Pleading for peace in the midst of the First World War. Rosika Schwimmer.
From Czechoslovakia, the daughter of the founder and the first president of Czechoslovakia. For years, the director of the Czech Red Cross. Now, a refugee, Alice Masaryk.
From Austrian Princess Helga Marie zu Lohenstein, wife of the leader of the Catholic Party, a refugee.
From Germany, a brilliant scholar. Once a member of the Prussian Parliament, once a judge in the Reich Court for Social Welfare. Dr. Frieda Wunderlich, now Dean of the American University in exile. But the United States has yet to accept the gifts of some of her other refugees, and of one woman who has come not as a refugee, but as a true exile.
Dr. Alice Solomon, known throughout the world as the International Dean of Social Workers. Now, after a life of service to her country and to mankind, she is driven into exile.
So we came, we refugees in exile, to the land we call America, which does not exile its citizens. We step upon its shore without fear, and we find American women waiting to receive us.
Women from immigrant aid societies.
From the National Catholic Welfare Association.
From the National Council of Jewish Women.
And daughters of the American Revolution.
There they stand on Ellis Island, descendants of yesterday's refugees. Welcoming the gallant American women of tomorrow. Tending to their sick, giving them handwork to do. Helping them to find a place in the complex pattern of American life.
Stand in line. Have your passports ready.
Commissioner Chief.
Something's here in the wire.
Anna! Anna! Oh, where's she be gone?
Can I help you?
Oh, my little girl in blue dress. She be lost. I know, can't find her.
Here, why don't you just sit down over here and wait? You see, the matron is taking care of her right over there.
Oh, yes, I see.
There.
Oh, it is so busy, this America. So many people. Oh, I want so much to stay here in America, to be free citizen.
Then you want a copy of our DAR citizenship manual. We give away about 3,500 every year here on Ellis Island.
Oh.
Printed in 18 different languages. Here, You can have this copy. It's written in English.
In English? Yes. Oh, no, no, no. No, I cannot read the English so very good.
But you will learn. It tells you many things about the United States. Here. Here's the oath of citizenship. Let me show you.
Oath of citizenship?
Yes.
Oh, no. No, I cannot read it.
Well, look, I'll help you. We'll read it together.
I hereby declare an oath that I absolutely
entirely
renounce and
abjure
all allegiance and
fidelity
to any foreign prince,
potentate,
state, or
sovereignty.
That I will support and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States against all enemies.
Letters coming to the United States Office of Education bring unusual news. They tell how colleges and civic organizations are setting up gallant American women listening groups. To assist in the organization of such listening groups, we shall be glad to provide you with schedules of the programs for each student or member taking part in listening group activity. Also, with the cooperation of the Columbia University Press, it is now possible to make these scripts available at 10 cents per copy to cover the cost of handling and mailing. To get your copy, send 10 cents to Gallant American Women, Washington, D.C. The address again is simply Gallant American Women, Washington, D.C. Next week's program deals with the story of women's right to vote, and the week following, laws and women. A complete listing of these programs is attached to the mimeographed text of the script. For your copy, remember, send 10 cents to Gallant American Women, Washington, D.C. Gallant American Women, an NBC public service feature, is a series of dramatizations prepared and presented by the United States Office of Education, Federal Security Agency, with the cooperation of the Women's Division of NBC and with the assistance of the Works Projects Administration. Script by Jane Ashman, supervised by Eva Hansel. Historical consultant, Mrs. Mary Beard of the World Center for Women's Archives. Original music by Rudolf Schramm. The story of Mary Anton was adapted from the book Heroines of Service, written by Mary R. Parkman. This is the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Building, Radio City, New York.